Hare Krishna to all the devotees of Tampa, Florida, and also the devotees who have joined from different parts of the world. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu bevacha patithanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. श्री श्री राधा दामोदर भगवान की जय. जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी की जय. सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय. श्री श्री गौणिताय की जय. लक्ष्मी नृसिंहदेव भगवान की जय. गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय. तुलसी महारानी की जय. श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय. अपने अपने गुरुदेव की जय. थैंक यू सो मच फॉर गिविंग मी एन अपॉर्चुनिटी टू एसोसिएट विद डिवोटीज देयर इन टेम्पा. So, first of all, a happy, happy new year to all of you who have joined us today online. So, I've been asked to take up this topic of how to make our new year 2021 more Krishna conscious. So, I was just contemplating today what to speak on this topic, and I was thinking, how to make our 2021 more Krishna conscious. So, if I'm having a sweet rice pot with me and I want it to be more sweeter, then what do I do? Just add more sugar and then it becomes sweeter. So, Krishna consciousness, I mean consciousness of Krishna. And we want to be more Krishna consciousness in coming 2021. That means we want to increase our consciousness of Krishna, right? So there are two things that we will have to do to make our new year 2021 more Krishna conscious. Increase the consciousness of Krishna and decrease the consciousness of other things in our life. That's what we have to do, these two things. Because unless and until these two things happen simultaneously, it won't work out, right? Like sometimes people think I can be material conscious and also Krishna conscious, you know? Something like if you're driving a car and you press your legs on the accelerator and the brake simultaneously, the car doesn't go anywhere. You need to lift your leg from the brake, only then the car goes. So sometimes, not sometimes, I think almost all the time, everybody of us are trying to manage our lives in such a way that we feel I should get the best of two worlds, right? I want to be materially also happy and everything should be just superb in my life. And at the same time, I should be pure devotee. And that doesn't, Krishna consciousness and material enjoyment goes ill together, right? So it is just like If you enter into a house which is full of litter, lots of dirt, you know, there is broccoli and lady's finger and lots of vegetables lying in the bedroom, and there are computer spare parts lying in the kitchen, and everything is dusty, dirty, and I just walk in with a precious diamond, and even though I throw the diamond in your house, you will never realize the diamond is there because there's so much dirt in the house. But when you start cleaning up the house, and you can actually see, oh wow, Mataji gave a diamond, it's so beautiful. So as of now, our lives are like this. They're so much preoccupied with so many material things that even though we are all trying to be Krishna conscious, but we almost all the time bowled out, you know. There's so many things happening in our life. So if we want to make our 2021 more Krishna conscious, we'll have to do two things. Increase Krishna consciousness, that means consciousness of Krishna in our life, and then also decrease the other things that we've been doing proportionately, so that the magic of Krishna will start working in our lives. So, I thought today we will discuss six different things that we can do in our life which will increase the consciousness of Krishna in our life. So, I've put it in something called quotient, you know, just like if I want to make this sweet rice more sweeter, then I'll have to increase the portion of sugar, right? So like that, the quotient, you know, there are six quotients which when increased in our life, we can have our 2021 to be more Krishna conscious. So the first thing I thought about was, we need to increase our IQ. What is IQ? Intelligent quotient. We need to increase our intelligent quotient. Now, one may think, what does intelligence has to do with Krishna consciousness? But there is a problem. There are three people here. The false ego, the mind, and the intelligence. And this false ego is a mafia. It'll go on, it's like a don, you know. It'll go on giving directions to the mind and intelligence. I want to do this. I'm the supreme enjoyer. Do this for me. Do that. Do this. So this false ego is like a mafia. And this mind accepts it. Okay, sir. I accepted your order. And the intelligence starts executing the order. Right? Let's say I want to eat ice cream. Okay? Let's say a child wants to eat ice cream. So now the false ego gives that instruction. I want to eat ice cream. And the mind says, okay, sir, done. And the intelligence will now start making plans. How to make mom and dad agree to get me an ice cream? What to do? What excuses I can make? This is how the whole nexus works, right? So the false ego is the boss. Now the thing is, in the lives of pure devotees, false ego is the real ego. So even if the real ego is the boss, there is no harm, because the real ego is completely convinced that I am the servant of Krishna and my life is for making Krishna happy. So the moment the ego gives that instruction, the mind says, okay, sir, and the intelligence starts making plan how to serve Krishna nicely. So there is no issue in their life. They're happy. And the materialistic people are also very happy because they are completely convinced that this life is for my enjoyment and my entertainment. So they give instruction to the intelligence and mind, I want to enjoy. And the mind and the intelligence, they start working in that direction. So they are also comfortable. Who is not comfortable is us, the sadhakas. Because sometimes, you know, our ego will become real ego. I am servant of Krishna. I don't want to enjoy myself. I want to do something for Krishna. But sometimes our ego becomes, you know, turns into false ego. It'll go on changing dress. And then you will say, no, no, I want to go for this party. I want to go for this vacation. I want to go for this entertainment. So now all the time the mind is whether I should go for sense gratification or not. Whether I should go for this party or not. It's always in dilemma because we are not able to take on one particular role. Always switching between two roles, right? So let's remove this boss who is very confusing. This false ego, this boss in our hearts. Pure devotees' hearts, no problem. Materialistic people heart, no problem. Our heart, this boss is very confused. Sometimes this boss says, let's enjoy. Sometimes says, no, let's do Krishna Seva. So let's remove him from the position of boss. So who will take up the boss now? There are only three people working in our office. False ego, mind and intelligence. So let's make our intelligence the boss. And let's remove the false ego from being in the position of the boss. So how to make the intelligence boss? Now something the intelligence has to do to become the CEO of the company. So we have to empower our intelligence. So when we empower our intelligence with scriptural knowledge, we read from Bhagavatam, we read from Bhagavad Gita, we read from Chaitanya Charitamritam, we read scriptures, then the intelligence becomes the boss. And now the intelligence will tell the false ego, look, you're not the boss. Okay? You're not the sole enjoyer. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and this is how I'm going to work. So everything will fall into place. So we need to increase our intelligent quotient, the IQ. When we read scriptures, then we analyze, we understand things as they are supposed to be understood. We're supposed to understand that everything that's happening in this world, there is Krishna's hand behind it. So how will we understand that unless and until we increase our intelligent quotient? So if we want to make our 2021 more Krishna conscious, then we will have to read and hear. Shravanam and Kirtanam. We'll have to increase our intelligent question. See, our mind is conditioned. Why? See, I'll tell you an example. you know, the elephants, by nature, by their physical structure, they're very powerful. But even if the elephant is the most powerful animal, when the elephant is shackled, you know, with this iron shackle, the elephant doesn't move. Actually, even if you shackle, it doesn't need to stay in that place. It can happily move, you know. If you tie an elephant to the tree, what will happen? It can easily uproot the tree and go away. But still, the elephant will stand like this, only shackled. Why? Why? Because the Mahavat, the elephant trainers, when the elephants are young, just small babies, they tie the elephant to some metal stalk, you know, with some iron shackles. And at that time, those babies, they're not so powerful because they're very young. So they must have tried at that time and they saw, oh, I cannot move. The moment they tie me shackles, I can't move. Now what happened? Their mind became conditioned. So now even when they grew up, now they became very powerful. But even now also, if you tie the shackle, they'll say, ah, I'm tied to this, I can't move. It doesn't understand that you can move. Now you're more powerful. That time you were a baby because it's an animal, right? Same thing with us. We become conditioned in this material world. We think this is how life is supposed to be. Sometimes happy, sometimes sad. This is how it is. So somehow we should go on. We should stay here. But we don't understand. We're not meant to be unhappy. Anandamayo Bhashyat, the Vedanta Sutra says, Krishna is a reservoir of pleasure. He's always happy. We are all part and parcel of Krishna and we have the right to be always happy. We don't need to suffer in this material world. We don't need to adjust. We can just simply go back from where we have come, you know, and leave this temporary situation that we have voluntarily ourselves, you know, we have put ourselves into it, right? So what has happened? How this conditioning will go? See, just like if a house fly, let's say by mistake, you know, just flying here and there, has got itself inside the honey bottle. It cannot come out because it's so heavy. Somebody needs to help it out. So like that, the scriptures, they bring us out of our conditioning. You know, we become conditioned, you know, to be here in this material world, you know, suffering with the slaps of three modes of material nature. But when we read scriptures, then they just remove us from this conditioning. So what we can do is increase our intelligent quotient. The second thing we can do is increase our EQ. IQ, and now it's EQ. EQ is emotional quotient. Increase our emotional quotient. What is emotional quotient? See, we need to love and care of everybody around us. We need to have empathy for everybody around us. Unless and until we learn to love and care and live in peace with people around us, we can't be happy. Can't be happy. That deep happiness will come only when we give love to others, when we give care to others, right? you see, what does it mean by Sankirtan, right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about Sankirtan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our parampara. We are always all the time talking about Sankirtan. Sankirtan means to do kirtan, to do service, to do seva together. Together, right? So just like a couple of days ago, we had Vaikuntha Ekadashi, right? And here in ISKCON Vishakhapatnam, we have this culture. Last couple of years we've been doing this. On Vaikuntha Ekadashi, we do Pushya Abhishek. Usually it happens in the first week of January, and this time it was somehow, you know, it came with Mokshada Ekadashi, Gita Jayanti. So we usually have this Pushya Abhishek because this is nice flowering season. January usually is a flowering season and lots of beautiful flowers. So all kinds of flowers, devotees are, you know, the whole temple hall looks so beautiful. The devotees are plucking out petals, different colors, jasmine and marigold and roses. But you know what? In the evening, when those flowers are put on the Lord, the Abhishek starts, none of the devotee who is sitting there can claim that petal had been plucked by me. I did it. You know, that rose is done by me. You know, it's over. It's now together. All of us together. This is what our movement is all about. Sankirtana. Together we serve Krishna. Together we serve Krishna. The common thing that we have between us is that we all are trapped in this material world. And the only thing that can, you know, take us out from this condition is chanting of Hare Krishna. So when we do that together, then we can together cross this ocean of material existence. So we have to increase our emotional quotient. The other day, I was giving class to Bahrain, yes, Bahrain Mataji's group. And when Mataji was asking one question, she said, we don't have devotees here in Bahrain, somewhere where she was living, I don't know exactly. And she said, she's not having much of devotees association. So I was just telling her that we think preaching is a selfless service. Actually, it is a selfish service. When you preach, what happens? The devotee community will increase. When the devotee community is increased, then your practicing of Krishna consciousness becomes more easy. That's all. Alone you can't do. So for our sake only we preach. So when we preach to our neighbors, to people, to our community, relatives, friends, people around us, and if they become devotee, then it's convenient for us to practice Krishna consciousness. Is it not? Because individually we may be inspired to practice. We may be motivated. But how long that inspiration, motivation will last, we are not sure. Is it not? You see, so many people, this New Year time, they'll make so many resolutions, right? But all the resolutions will die by the second week of January. It will be over, right? So why do those resolutions which have started with so much inspiration, motivation and energy die? Because there is no conviction. The resolution can stay if there is conviction. What is conviction? Firm faith. Yes, this is helpful for me. Yes, I should do that. Now, how will that conviction stay for longer time? When you facilitate that conviction with a proper environment. See, I'll give you an example. Let's say somebody decided that I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to touch alcohol from this January 1, 2021. Okay, very nice. He's inspired. He's motivated. But you know what is his job? What does he do? He's a bartender. He's a bartender. He works in a bar, in a club, where he has to serve liquor to everybody day in and day out. Do you think his resolution will stay for long? No. Why? Because the environment is not conducive. He's working day in and day out. He's touching, pouring alcohol. So anything, if we want to practice, we need a proper environment to facilitate that conviction. So when we are preaching and making people around us devotees, and when we have a devotee association, then that facilitates our conviction. And if our conviction is strong, then our motivation and inspiration, what we get, it will last long and we'll be able to be resolute in what we have decided to do. So we need to increase our emotional quotient. Love and care devotees, have empathy, be nice to everybody, because they are all part and parcel of Krishna, right? See, there was one girl and boy, and they were in a serious affair. They were meeting each other every day. So one day the girl says, let's get married. So the boy says, okay, we can get married, no issue. But as long as we had affair, we are meeting independently, individually, it's fine. But the moment you get married to me, you'll have to accept my whole family. I have a mother who is handicapped. I have a sister who is having a mental problem. I have a brother. Are you ready to accept my family? Then you can marry me. So the girl says, yes, I'm ready to accept your family. So then they get married. The same thing is with our relationship with Krishna. Okay, we claim we are Krishna's devotee, but if we really love Krishna, then we'll have to accept Krishna's family. And in Krishna's family, there are all sorts of devotees. There may be somebody who is a hot-tempered devotee, somebody is a humble devotee, somebody is a, you know, ambitious devotee, somebody is, you know, a little... You'll have to accept everybody. Right? What Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 6.30, chapter 6, loka number 30, what he says... He says, Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra. One who sees me everywhere. Then he says, Sarvam. Sarvam cha mai Pashyati. Sarvam cha mai Pashyati. One who sees me everywhere, it sees everything in me. For him, I am not lost. And for me, he is not lost. That's what Krishna is asking us to do. See everywhere Krishna and see Krishna in everything, right? So this is what we need to do. Increase our emotional quotient. Love each and every devotee as extended part of Krishna. Just like we love Krishna, we love everybody. Everybody, because all the jivas are part and parcel of Krishna. So we increase our intelligent quotient by reading scriptures so that our intelligent becomes their boss. We increase our emotional quotient. We love and care devotees. We have a healthy, happy community. Then we can bloom and blossom in Krishna consciousness. So we increase our emotion quotient. Now the third thing, what can we do to make our 2021 more Krishna conscious? Increase our spiritual quotient, the SQ, right? So we got IQ, EQ and the SQ. What is SQ? Spiritual quotient. See, you know, what's the word for 2020? Immunity, is it not? We've all been talking about immunity, immunity, immunity. Increase your immunity. Everybody is going to get COVID. Nobody can escape. The only thing we can do, what is in our hands, is increase immunity. That's all we can do. That's what we need to do in spiritual life also. Increase our immunity. The world is not going to change for you. Just because you took initiation, they're not going to close all the bars. You know, look, he has taken initiation. Now we need to close all the shops. The cinema theaters are not going to close. The bars are not going to close. The restaurants are not going to close. The hoardings are not going to shut down. The magazines are not going to stop publications. We need to increase our immunity. That means we need to increase our spiritual quotient. So that means we need to increase our qualities. I think last 2 months, I think I gave two sessions, last month. And I gave two sessions on how to become Krishna's favorite devotee for the Central New Jersey devotees. And there I was discussing in depth from Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, all the 36 qualities that Krishna wants to see in his favorite devotee. So I think it's from verse number 13 to 20. But Krishna goes on and on, you know, he says, Nirmamaha, Nirahankara, Sama, Dukkha, Sukha, Shami, Santushta, Satatam, Yogi, Yatatmam, Dridanischayaha. You know, and then he keeps on saying, and then at the last he says, Yomad Bhakta, Same Priyaha. That kind of devotee I like very much. He should be Nirmama, he should be Nirahankara, he should be Santushta, he should be Yogi, he should be Yuktatmam, he should be Shami. He should be Sama, he'll go on and on, almost all 36 qualities that Krishna says he wants to see in his devotees. And if we want to increase our spiritual quotient, we need to increase this 36 qualities. Not only increase, first of all, get them. Don't know how many even do we have, a trace of them. But we get them, we work on them, and we try to increase our spiritual quotient. We need to increase. See, even if we can't, let's say, till the fag end of our life, you know, till our deathbed, even if we are not able to get all these 36 qualities, the whole endeavor which will go on trying to acquire them will make us into beautiful bhaktas, beautiful devotees, you know. It will be something like Benjamin Franklin's New Year resolutions. Have you heard about it? Benjamin Franklin was one of the founding members of America, and he was a very big man, you know, a diplomat, a statesman, a scientist, just about a writer, author, everything. He was a very, very learned man. So he once decided, when he was very young, just about 20 years old, he decided that I'll write down what I want to be. What are the virtues? What are the qualities that I want to develop in me? So he wrote down some 12 qualities, you know, cleanliness or determination or whatever he wanted. And then he showed it to his friend. You know, I want to develop these 12 qualities. So his friend says, this is all right, but you're not humble. You're very arrogant. So he said, oh, really? I'm not humble? Okay, fine, done. So he puts 13, humility. Okay, this quality also I'll try to develop. So he did that when he was 20 years old. So when he became 87, the fag end of his life. His friend came to meet him and he said, "So, where are you now? You know, you started, you said you want to develop all these virtues. So what? So did you get it? Did you get all the 13 qualities?" So he said, "May not be. May not be. Maybe I didn't get all the 13 qualities. But this whole journey that I undertook to get that 13 qualities by itself is so rich. You know, it's so rich. It gave me so much happiness, right? So maybe I don't know if we can get all these 36 qualities, but at least if we keep that goal, or at least if we have that thirst, I want to get these qualities and please Krishna, that will increase our immunity towards material world. Even if we have that goal, you know, it will make us into beautiful bhaktas, beautiful devotees of Krishna, right? So do we even have that thirst? That's the question. Do we have that thirst? I want to get these qualities. A couple of days ago, I got a letter. I think that was from some Mataji from Fiji. She was sharing with me. She said, "Mataji, there's one more Mataji in our temple and she's very critical about me. So she keeps backbiting and she keeps talking, bitching about me, something or the other. She keeps she keeps telling other Matajis. She doesn't tell me anything, but she keeps telling other Matajis something about me. Some, you know, she's very critical. So I feel very bad about it. So what should I do? That's disturbing my chanting." I wrote back to her. I said, "Mataji, the first and foremost thing is just go there and hold that Mataji's feet and tell her that, 'Mataji, you've been telling about me to this Mataji, that Mataji, that Mataji. But the thing is, even if you tell them about me, they can't do anything about it. Because that quality or that bad quality is not in them. They are simply hearing. But that which you're talking about me, that is in me. So if you tell me, then I can change myself. It'll be helpful, is it not? If you tell others, it'll be no use. They can't do anything about it. They can't do anything to change me. But if you tell me, then I'll try to change myself." So I just told her, I said, "Why don't you go and speak to her? You know, please tell me." You see, we should have that eagerness, that excitement. I want to know, where am I going wrong? I don't understand. If somebody is trying to help you and letting you know where you are going wrong, so are we supposed to be happy about it or sad about it? That's my question. We're supposed to be happy about it. So why is almost all the time everybody sulking about it? They spoke about me. See, the problem is we won't be able to find out what's wrong with us. Somebody else has to help us. We can't find out. Finding our own fault is something like the scriptures say, if there's the black night, let's say it's a no moon night, Amavasya night, everything is dark, and then there is a black stone in the dark night, and on that black stone there is a black ant walking. What is the chances of you seeing that black ant? No chance. Everything is black. Same thing with us. If you want to see your fault, these are the chances. No chance. It will be so difficult to find out what's wrong with me, what's my fault. We need help from somebody. And when somebody is criticizing, we should be so happy. Here is somebody who's taking out the time to let us know where are we going wrong. Because by ourselves, we always think we are pure devotees. We are simply great. There's nothing needs to be changed about us, right? I remember a couple of years ago, I was reading one very interesting book, and I came across one very nice article about some tribes from New Zealand. So these tribes, they have been so out of connection from the world that the people in this tribe have never even seen their own faces, their own reflection. So they don't know how they look, because even the water bodies there is no still water, only flowing water. So they can't see their own reflection, so they don't know how they look. So once it so happened that there was somebody who was doing a PhD on something, and they from America, and they flew there, and somehow they reached this, you know, very remote area. And then this American man, he had a Polaroid camera, and he was going and clicking everybody's photo. So he clicks this one tribal man's photo and shows him. Of course, there's no big communication language, but when he shows him that, you know, this is you, He says, no, he's not able to believe that he looks so ugly. He said, no, this is not me. He was not able to convince him. Then finally what he did is, how to convince him? There is no mirror. So what he did, he made his friend stand on right side. He made another friend stand on left side. This man was standing in the middle. And then he took a photo in a Polaroid camera. And immediately the photo will come out from the camera. And he showed him. Now he was convinced because he could see, yeah, just now we were standing here and here is my friend. Here is, and I, yes, I look ugly. This is the thing. We can't see ourselves, how ugly we are. We need some help. We need some help. And if there is some devotee in our life, who is showing you that? Okay, look, this is how you look, you know. And unless and until we know how ugly we are, we'll not even start working on it. So we really need some help where somebody tells us, okay, this is what is your problem. You know, many times I've seen, even when we talk, you know, if we are smelling bad, we will not realize. If our mouth is smelling bad, we won't realize. The person who is standing in front of, they will realize, you know, that there's something, but we can't realize. But most of the time, people avoid telling us that because they don't want to offend us. So, but if somebody is so kind enough to tell us, oh, look, you're smelling, I think we should be grateful. We should be grateful. Oh, great, right? Otherwise, who even has a time in this world to do that for you, right? So these are the qualities we need to develop. Now, people tell us, great. But here is one very selfish thing that we need to do. We don't correct others. We get corrected, but we shouldn't correct others. I know we're being selfish, but the problem is we have very little time. Time is running out. Time is running out and we need to go. We are in a hurry. And if we start trying to, you know, correct people, situations, events, try to make changes, improve others, we'll have to stay back. So the choice is ours, this new year 2021, what do you want to do? It's in your hand. So there are two options. You want to go back, then forget about the whole world. Don't try to change anybody, don't try to correct anybody, don't try to improve anybody. Just work on yourself. You don't want to go back, you want to stay back, great. Stay back, keep correcting everybody. Help others in correcting, take out their faults, try to change people, try to change the world, try to change the situation. Best of luck. Stay back. There's only two options we have. So if you're selecting the option two, no, I want to go back, then let's be in a hurry. Let's be in a hurry. So now whatever situation happens, whatever even happens, our objective should be, where did I go wrong? That's all should be my focus. So now you may say, but Mataji, there are situations in life where I'm not wrong at all, completely. Maybe 99.9% that person was in fault. My fault may be 0.1% or maybe 0.005% was my fault. Rest of the fault was with that person. Great. Start working on 0.005%. That's it. That's our job. You work on your 0.005% because that 0.005% is what is keeping us away from Goloka Vrindavan. So let's work on that. Why should we work on other people's problem? Let's work on our problem. In whatever event happened, forget about whose fault. What was my role in that? How much was my contribution in that? Let me work on that. Right? But we are almost all the time tempted to tell other people's fault. Actually, you know, I didn't do it. Actually, this person, that person, actually he has this problem. That's our natural inclination to do that. So what we can do is, we can hold it for some time. Hold it, our natural inclination, for some time. We've been doing this from so many lifetimes, is it not? Correcting people, we're doing it from so many lifetimes. And if we want, we'll do it afterwards also, after going back to Goloka. Once we go back to Goloka, we'll sit with Krishna in an easy chair, sip pure cow milk and discuss with Krishna. You know, Krishna in our temple community, that devotee was so badmash. That devotee was so cunning. We'll have a nice chat with Krishna over a cup of, we can't have tea and coffee, or a cup of pure cow milk. We'll have a chat with Krishna. This was the problem, you know, in the temple and that person was like this. But can we just hold it for the temporary time? We did it for so many lifetimes and we'll do it after going back to Goloka with Krishna. But if we can hold it for this temporary phase of our life, then we can run back home, back to Godhead. Run back home, back to Godhead. So we will work only on our 0.5% role that we have in things, situation, events that happen in our life and how we can change it. You know, see, let's say there is some marriage in your house. Your daughter is getting married. So tell me, in that kind of situation, will you be sitting on an easy chair and reading Hindu newspaper, Times of India, or the Economic Times? You're saying no. You're saying no, but it has important news. It is giving you updates of what is happening with COVID. It is giving you update of what's happening in America. It's giving you a... So you will say, yeah, Mataji, very nice. It's all important, Mataji, but not now. My daughter is getting married, so I have really important works to do. Once the marriage is over, I'll sit over it, but not now. That's the feeling a devotee has. It's not that things are not important. Maybe they're important, but we have a more important job to be done. We want to go back. We want to go back to Krishna, right? So if we want to go back to Krishna, then whatever is happening around us, we need to ignore or rather not give it so much importance, right? See, time doesn't wait for anybody, right? Doesn't wait for anybody. Okay, tell me what's the time now. Tell me the exact time. 8:10 in seconds, you tell me. It's 8 o'clock, 10 minutes, how many seconds? 22 seconds? Are you sure? No, you're wrong. 23. No, 24. No, it's 25 while we are talking. So what's happening? The time, is it stopping for you? No, Mataji is asking a question, so I'll stop now. It doesn't stop. Time doesn't stop. By the time I talk to you, it goes and it moves and it moves. It's not going to stop for us. And we have very limited time. So why to waste time? Let's be quick. Let's be in a hurry. All those things that we are so much worried about, they're going to stay here. We are not going to stay here. I remember this beautiful pastime of Srila Prabhupada. Once Srila Prabhupada was giving a class in Paris. So he made a very beautiful statement. He said, you know, Napoleon, he had this very famous saying. He used to say, France is Napoleon. Napoleon is France. I mean, it's like so big thing, you know. If it's Napoleon means France, France means Napoleon. And Prabhupada said in Bhagavatam class, France is here. Where is Napoleon? France is still here. Where is Napoleon? He's gone. So things are going to be here, but we are not going to be here. We are not permanent, right? See, other day I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it was the 9th canto. And it has this beautiful Vanshavali, you know, the Chandra Vamsha. After this, this king, after this, this king. Sometimes when I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, why does he has to say all this? Sukadeva Goswami, what way is it helping us if I go on reading? Then I was thinking, okay, one way if I keep reading about those names of those kings, it's like, okay, it's purifying because they're all great kings. But the other and very important lesson that we learn from reading the names of the kings in Srimad Bhagavatam is we understand that these kings were no ordinary people. We are maybe just a small in charge of some temple, or maybe, you know, have a property, one villa or some small flat or some little job somewhere. But these people were the kings of the whole universe. But they're not there anymore. And after that, their son and then their son and their son and their son. And so many have just passed and we'll also pass. We'll also go away, right? Nobody is permanent in this world. Time is running away. I remember this one pastime of one muni. He goes to a king. So he says, I need accommodation. So the king says, oh, sure. I'll make all the arrangements in my palace so that you have a comfortable stay. So the muni, the sage, he immediately says, oh, thank you so much for giving me accommodation in your inn. You know what is inn? Guest house, yeah, inn. Thank you so much for giving me accommodation in your inn. So the king says, sorry, I'm just trying to correct you. This is not inn, my palace. So the sage says, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, thank you for giving me accommodation in your inn. So now the king gets very angry. Last half an hour, I'm trying to explain you. This is not inn, this is my palace. So the sage very smilingly asked, Oh, this is your palace. Acha. Sorry, I misunderstood. So where is your father? I have not seen him long time. Oh, my father, he left his body. Acha. Where is your grandfather? Oh, my grandfather, he left his body. Oh, so they were staying with you? Yeah. My father was staying with me, but now he's not here. Acha. So where did he go? He went to some other destination. I don't know. Acha. So where is your grandfather? He was not staying with you? No. He was staying with me only. Sage asked, Acha. So where did he go? I don't know. Somewhere he must have gone. So then the sage asked, I thought the definition of inn was a place where people come, stay for some time, and go. So is it not that your palace is an inn? Because even your father came, stayed for some time, he left. Your grandfather was here for some time, he left. And after some time, you'll also leave. So how can you say this is your palace? This is the inn, place where people come and go. They stay for some time and then they just go. So this is how this material world is. It's an inn. It's an inn, right? We are here for a temporary period. So we need to really work faster and smarter, right? So we have to increase our spiritual quotient. We have to increase all these qualities in us, what Krishna is asking, or at least try and achieve a little trace of, make that endeavor. So we spoke about three things: the intelligent quotient, the emotional quotient, and increase the spiritual quotient. Now, that's another thing which we need to increase. AQ. AQ. That is the adversity quotient. Adversity. What is adversity? You have to tolerate. There are so many situations that you'll face in your life. If you want to make your Krishna conscious, if you want to make your 2021 more Krishna conscious, then you will have to increase your AQ. You have to increase your tolerance. As I told you, world is not going to stop for you. Situations and events are not going to become happy. Now we face this COVID-19. We don't know how many such situations may arise in the future. But as a devotee, we need to prepare ourselves. If we keep looking that, when everything will be fine, I'll practice my Krishna consciousness, then it's never going to happen. Many times when I ask devotees, hey, you haven't come last many weeks, what's up? Oh, Mataji, so many problems. Once all the problems are sorted out, I'll come. I tell them, problems are sorted out, then you will come. No, you come, then the problems will get sorted out. This is something like, how are you? No, I have fever. Why don't you go to doctor? I'll go. Once my fever is reduced, then I'll go to doctor. You have fever, so go to doctor right now. What's the point of going to the doctor after the fever is reduced? So we are all in problem. We are all in trouble. So we need to practice Krishna consciousness more intensely, right? So adversity quotient. Unless and until we increase the adversity quotient, you know what? We'll keep waiting and keep looking for that wow moment when everything will be fine. My children will be married, well settled. Everything will be perfect. My pension is coming. I have a nice flat. Everything is settled. No more issues. And then I'll sit on an easy chair, take my mala bag, and chant Hare Krishna beautifully. I'll worship the deities that day, and I'll have a beautiful Krishna conscious life. It's never going to happen. You'll have to do it simultaneously. You are in between, in this situation, in this Kurukshetra war, this battlefield, and you'll have to simultaneously do things. So increase your adversity quotient. You have to be more tolerant. You have to become more tolerant. What Lord Brahma says in the 10th canto, Brahma Stuti, chapter 14, text number 8. Tatte nukampa susamikshamano mujanaivatmakritam vipakam. This is my favorite sloka of Bhagavatam. I almost quote it in all my classes. Tattenukampasusamikshamano. Brahma says that the devotee who tolerates becomes a rightful heir of getting liberation. One who tolerates every situation in life, thinking that this is my past life karma, and while tolerating, Hridvag vapubhir vidhadhan namaste. He's not lazy. He's not sitting around, watching what's happening. Hrid vag vapu bhir, with his heart, with his vag, with his talk, with vapu, with his body, what is he doing? Worshipping Krishna. He's serving Krishna. So he's doing that simultaneously and he's not complaining. Whatever is happening in his life, he's tolerating. If he does that, he becomes a rightful heir, a rightful recipient of Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. That's it. So, if we increase our adversity quotient, then we won't keep going to the court all the time. I'm not saying physically going to the court, but our mind is almost all the time going to court and complaining to the judge. This happened to me, that happened to me. Always complaining, sulking, so many, you know, this devotee did this to me, my wife did that, my husband did that, my in-laws did that, this. We have so many complaints and we keep going to the court. So when we increase our adversity quotient, we'll stop going to the court. We will settle for out-of-court settlements. That means work with our mind, work with our own issue, work with our own problems, work where we are going wrong. Have a deep introspection, you know. Now, by deep introspection, I mean is a deep archaeological digging, not a outward artificial architectural setups. It's a deep digging in our heart. Where am I going wrong? And tolerate every situation. Our problem is that whenever there is a problem, we become a lawyer for ourselves. And whenever there is some problem from the other side, we become a judge. We'll start giving nice judgments. But when there is a problem from our side, we'll become lawyer and start defending ourselves. So increase your adversity quotient. Be more tolerant. Forget about, but that person is not tolerant, but this person is not tolerant. That's all right. But you want to go back to home, back to God, and he doesn't want to go. So forget about him. You want to go, then you be tolerant. You are a sadhaka. If you want to go, then you become tolerant. So the whole point is, stay in the game long enough. Don't quit quickly. Stay longer. Stay longer than the other people can. Tolerate more than the other people can, because you want to go back, because you are serious, because you want to make your 2021 more Krishna conscious, then you need to be more tolerant. There's no more justifications, but actually I'm not wrong, but actually he's, who you want to go, keep your focus on your goal. So increasing adversity quotient. If we increase our adversity quotients, then we will be going back home, back to Godhead in Rajdhani Express. If you're from India, then you know what it is, Rajdhani Express. You know, there are some trains which are local trains. Every station, it will go on stopping, and don't know when you'll reach your destination. But Rajdhani doesn't stop. It will start from where you have started and stops at where you're supposed to get down. That's about it. No looking here and there. That's what we want to do. Increasing our adversity quotient. No looking here and there. Just back home, back to God. No stop anywhere. Next, CQ. So we spoke about IQ, EQ, SQ, AQ, and now this is CQ. What is CQ? CQ is clarity quotient. Increase your clarity. What do you want to do? Fix up your goal and be clear about it. Otherwise, we almost all the time confuse what we want to do. You really want to go back home. I mean, you're sure. So then the path is very clear. Now, I'm not sure. I want to be a good devotee, but then there's a problem. You understand? Like, I don't know if you have heard about Florence Chadwick. She was a swimmer. So in the 1952, she was trying to swim across the Catalina Channel. Okay, you know, the swimmers, they'll just swim some channel and make a record, you know, English channel, this channel. So this Florence Chadwick, she was swimming across the Catalina Channel in 1952. So those days, you know, when she's swimming, there is a ship and small boat behind her just to save her from shark, or in case if she's very tired in between, she can just, you know, close the competition. So what happened in the 1952, when she made her first attempt, after some time, when she was almost all there, she said, I can't do it anymore. I want to come out. So then they helped her and she sat in the boat. After she sat in the boat, the people told her, you know what? You know how far you were from the goal? just 1 mile, 1.5 mile, actually 1/1/4 mile to be accurate. That much far away you were from the goal. If you would have just swim a little bit, just 1 mile more, you would have, you know, achieved your record. Then she said in one of her interviews that why I couldn't do it is that day was very foggy and misty. And because it was foggy and misty, she could not see her goal. It was not clear. She thought, don't know how much more I have to swim. If the goal was clear, oh, it's just 1 mile, she would have somehow make it. That's our problem. Are we clear? If we are clear, then everything is going to be very simple. But if it's foggy and misty out there, we are not sure what we want, you know. If I want to go to Kashmir, it's very simple. It's cold. I have to pack some warm clothes. If I want to go to, you know, Kanyakumari, I have to be very clear. It's not so cold. I can just take some easy t-shirts. So unless and until I decide my goal, how will I pack my bag? You understand? So if your goal is clear, it's pretty simple. You don't need big rocket science to understand you're going to Kashmir. You need to pack some sweater. Why are we confused and always asking, shall I take a t-shirt or shall I take a sweater? Why do you have this doubt? Because you're not sure where you're going. Is it not? That's why we're already, shall I do the chanting now or not? Shall I go to the party or temple? Shall I eat this or why so many confusions in packing the bag? Because we're not sure where we want to go. Right? If you're sure what you want to do, then there's no big difficulty. Right? So that is clarity quotient. CQ. Fix up your goal. If your goal is fixed, you want to be Krishna conscious, you want to be connected to Krishna, then things are pretty simple. The whole plan is already laid down. Connect to Krishna and take Krishna Prasad. Engage your senses in serving Krishna. When your senses are engaged in serving Krishna, then your mind will be controlled. With a controlled mind, what happens when the mind is controlled? You'll be peaceful. And the person who is peaceful will be happy. And then we can have a happy new year. So simple. What it says in Bhagavad Gita 2.66, it says, Nasti buddhi ayuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavana, nacha bhavatasya shantir, ashantir kuta sukham. Simple. Somebody doesn't have a controlled mind and senses, then he cannot be connected to Krishna. If he's not connected to Krishna, his mind is not controlled. It's related. Your mind is not controlled. Your senses are not controlled. If your mind and senses are not controlled, you cannot be peaceful. And ashantir kuta sukham. If you're not peaceful, how can you be happy? If you're not happy, how will you have a happy new year? Right? So it's all interconnected. And the last one for today's evening. The GQ. GQ is grateful quotient. Be grateful in all situations. All situations. Learn to appreciate and accept whatever situation Krishna has put us into. Be grateful. Like I always keep saying, we can't be grateful about everything that's happening. We can't be grateful of all that happens to us, but we can be grateful in those situations. We can't be grateful if we got a disease, but we can be grateful that at least I know about the disease. Okay, I have the doctors. Okay, I have the necessary things to help me out. So like that, we cannot be grateful for every situation, but we can be grateful amidst all situations. So if we are grateful, a grateful heart is a happy heart. It's a happy heart. So when we are grateful, then we can be better connected to Krishna. A resentful heart cannot connect to Krishna. We can't chant nicely. But when we are grateful, then we can be happy. In our life, there are two things that are happening. There are actual situations in our life. And then there are certain narrations that the mind gives about our situations. You know, the mind will always give you translation, purport for every situation that is happening in its own way. So we need to separate this mind, you know, these narrations of the unconscious mind from our actual situations, and then try to give the translation and commentary to every situation of us, whatever is happening in our life, with Shastra Chakshu, with the eyes of the scriptures. Then you can see every situation as it is supposed to be seen, right? Then you can be grateful to Krishna, because then you will be convinced that Che Hari Kare Se Mama Hita. Whatever Hari does is for Mama Hita, for my well-being. And whatever is happening with me, Krishna has a plan. Things may be out of my control, but things are not out of Krishna's control. My life is controlled by Krishna, and Krishna is my well-wisher. He is my real friend, and he has a plan for me. So then we can be grateful, right? So this one thing, mantra, we can apply in this new year 2021. Just three things we keep telling Krishna always. Thank you, and thank you. That's all. See, in my school, I run a school. It's called Divine Touch. So we have up to grade 5. So this is 3 floors. In the basement, I have from class 1 to 5. And on the top floor is the kindergarten. And on my floor, where my cabin is, I have the nursery children. And these nursery children, they don't write anything. They're very young. So almost all the time, the couple of hours that they spend in my school, they're always all the time singing some very nice poems, you know. And I like this one poem that they sing. You know, they say, "Thank you, God, for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for the food we eat. And thank you, God, for the world so sweet." And say, "Thank you, God, for everything." And when they say that everything, they shout, you know, children, "Thank you, God, for everything." And I can hear that all the time from my cabin, and I like it so much. Now, don't tell me, Mataji, how come this is from Bible and how come you're teaching in your school? Don't tell me all those logics. There's a particular curriculum that we need to teach in all the schools here, which is given by the government. So it has some poems and all, and it may have poems from Bible or Quran or from just about anywhere. But I'm just trying to take the essence of it. And I just like it so much, you know, when they say that, "Thank you, God, for everything." Now, they are children. I don't know if they even know what they are singing. It's very small children. They're just doing parroting it, you know, like a parrot. But I always yearned for that day when we could do it from the core of our heart for the Lord. "Thank you, God, for everything. Thank you, Krishna, for everything that you have." And the day we'll be able to do that from the core of our heart, you know, we'll be really happy and blissful when we actually understand the depth of that, you know, that how Krishna has been so kind to us. And if we can be grateful to Krishna all the time, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." This one thing, you know, should be reverberating in our heart all the time, that "Thank you, Krishna, for everything." So the gratitude question, the gratitude quotient, the gratitude quotient, thanking Krishna for everything. Our mind will almost all the time keep giving some running commentary of this and that and this and complaints, you know. Our mind is such, even if you take our mind to the heaven, you know, even if we are with Indra, in Indraprastha, in Amravati, you know, our mind will say, "Indra is treating us very nicely, everything is very nice, happy, but this is the problem," you know. Always there will be "but," you know, that's our mind. For everything it will put a "but" in our life. "I'm happy, but if this would have happened, I would have been more happy. If this happens, I'll be more happy." So that's our problem. So I wait for the day when our "buts" will be put in the bin and we'll only be left with saying "thank you," right? So to make our 2021 more Krishna conscious, we work on our IQ, EQ, SQ, AQ, CQ, and GQ. We work on all these 6 quotients and prepare a balance sheet, just like the businessman does, you know, at the end of every year, you know, at the March 31st. They have this financial balance sheet, you know, financial year ending, how much profit he earned, how much loss. As a devotee, we also need to have a balance sheet every year end, you know, we should make up, what did I do in this whole year? How, you know, did I become a better devotee? You know, what are my lows and what are my highs and what I'm better at and what I'm not able to do? Just make a balance sheet and then make a resolution. You know, we resolve and we reflect and we redirect our heart, you know, in that direction. And that way we can become more Krishna conscious. So with this, I'll end the class here. Wishing you all again a happy, happy New Year. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. But if you have a question on the third question which you get, there is a special question. And there is at which the whole are like integration and that point in at the we can discuss that when we reach to Goloka and when we are with Krishna, right?
Yeah. Okay, so your question is, I said that whenever you have a feeling, okay, I find this fault with this devotee and I want to correct him, and I told that just hold it for some time and we'll do it when we go back to Goloka, and there we'll sit with Krishna and analyze and understand what this devotee had a problem or what that devotee has a problem, but temporarily, you know, shelve it. So you said, what does it actually mean in a practical way? Now, basically, practically, honestly, frankly, what it means is just fool your mind is what I'm trying to say. I don't mean literally that, you know, we are going to go to Goloka and sit there and chat with Krishna about this devotee's fault. But the whole point I'm trying to do is, let's fool our mind, just like we fool our children, you know. The children say, "Now, mama, this boy has did this, na." Then I remember when my kids were young. Okay, I'll tell daddy. Okay, we gonna talk to him. I'm gonna complain to the teacher tomorrow. He's so bad to you. This, we're just fooling the child. We don't mean it. So we need to fool our mind. That means we need to work on our mind. That means, see, we may think, but Mataji, mind is not like a child. It's very intelligent. No, it's not intelligent. It's really childish. Mind is childish. It is childlike. You can definitely, I know, work on it, you know, just like you work on child. That is why you see all the Vaishnava Acharyas also, they're all the time almost talking about mind. Bhajahure mana Srinandanandana. Always talking to the mind. Oh, my mind do this. Oh, my mind do that. Oh, my mind. Mind is definitely a child. So, what I basically meant to say is, when your mind is pointing out, Prabhu, this person is doing like that. This person has been so unkind to me. He's been like this to me. So then you convince your mind, counsel your mind. Hey, look, you know, my mind, don't worry. This devotee has been bad to you. We'll complain to Krishna about him when we go back to Goloka. Now let's not worry about him. Let's try to improve ourselves. So that is what my whole major point that I was trying to make by today's class is, let's mind our own business. So now you may say, we want to mind our own business, but there are people out there who are not allowing us to mind our business. They come and disturb our business. Yeah, that's going to happen. So whenever such situations happen, we don't work or think or meditate on where they went wrong or he went wrong or she went wrong. We simply meditate on where did we go wrong, and that is all our limitation of our thinking, and we don't think about them. Now again, see, I'm making a blanket statement, but you may come out with some specific things like, but Mataji, I have to tell him, otherwise, you know, this will be the problem. You know, we were organizing a festival. I'm not talking about exceptions where you have certain roles to play. You may be a manager, a leader, an event organizer, 20 people are working under you. You may have to point out their fault. Oh, there's so many things on a practical level happening, but when you do that, you do it with a service attitude, and you don't do it because you feel you are the boss. You don't do it because you think you know better. You do it as a service because you feel, okay, if this can be done in this way, it would be better. And you correct humbly and you are conscious about it. Then this is all we need to work on it. But I'm giving you a general principle to be taken in life. So when you know this is the principle, you keep aligning yourself with the principle almost all the time as you are doing whatever activities on your life, wherever and whenever possible, you'll try to maximum align yourself with that principle. Of course, except places where there are exceptions, you will have to tell that it is required, it was the need of the hour. Now if you ask me, but when do I know when it is required or it is not required? No, those judgments we need to make or have some mentor where we always check back, you know, where am I going, you know, where is the Lakshman Rekha drawn and how much to do and how much not to do. But this is the principle that I'm talking about, because I think if there are 10% of incidents in our life where our speaking out would be helpful. I'm sure there are at least 90% of the places where our speaking out was just not required. We did it out of our, you know, impulse. It may not be the need of the hour. So let's forget about those 10% exceptions. Let's talk about those 90% where it's possible to overlook other people's mistake, forgive and forget, and keep thinking about where we are going wrong. So if there are at least 90% situations in our life where we can implement this principle, we'll be successful to a larger, you know, to a greater amount, you know. So we can focus on that. And the other 10% where there are exceptions, you have to, then go ahead and do it. Is it okay, Prabhu?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Applies in every environment, with every jiva that you deal with, the same thing will imply. Even for non-devotees, it will be more easier actually. With devotees, you know, sometimes soft heart that we are will feel better, I should correct him. That may come. But with non-devotees, you can be all the more firm of making sure you don't want to correct anybody. Again, as I told you, if you are in a working environment where you are a boss, 20 people working under you, certain things has to be pointed out, you point it out, but in a humble mood.
I was
really happy, Mataji. She's not able to talk, but
I am very emotional, Mataji. Please accept our humble obeisances. So, this is my dream come true, Mataji, to talk with you today. So, Mataji, in the 6 portions you mentioned about emotional portion and the spiritual portion you mentioned about you have to focus on your goal and your sadhana. So, but in the devotees community, we see so many devotees practicing for so many years, but they are not progressing. And as a devotee, we need help each other, right, in the community. So, how can we both take this Mataji, otherwise, because they don't know how to progress in the bhakti. When as a devotee, we see we can find the faults in others and we can learn. So, but in the same way, and we have to focus on our sadhana. So, I didn't get clarity in the both Mataji.
Okay, I didn't get clarity in the question. Let me repeat if I got the question correctly. You said that in a devotee community, you find devotees who may not be progressing very nicely in Krishna consciousness, even after practicing and following for so many years, they may not be exemplary. So how do we get encouraged if we look up on them like, is it? Oh, so, okay, that means I got the question correct. Yes, so you should take the motivation this way that, oh my God, Maya is so powerful. You see, these devotees have been trying to work for so many years. Still, they are not able to. That means it's not so easy, right? See, when you see somebody, you know, in higher classes, let's say I'm studying in grade 7, and if I see the students of grade 10 have got only 70% marks in their 10th class board exam, so what will I think? Oh, that means 10th class board exam is very difficult, because I saw this boy was studying from morning 9 to 5, still he got so less marks. That means I'll have to work harder. So like that, for everything, we should try to take out positive, you know, and we should also sympathize with devotees. See, just like we are struggling with our mind, ego, intelligence, they are also struggling. Everybody is struggling with their mind, ego and intelligence. So sometimes the devotees who are struggling, they may be successful. They're able to conquer mind, ego, intelligence, and they are becoming exemplary devotees. Some devotees are not able to do it. So we sympathize with them. Oh my, so strong, so difficult, you know, to fight. So we try to help them. But we shouldn't get demotivated. We should always try looking. If you don't have good examples in that particular environment that you are, then you look somewhere else and look somewhere else for more inspiration. In fact, this should not be a trouble for devotees, at least now, having given the situation of technology where you're able to connect with so many people out there, and YouTube and Zoom and online live classes and Srimad Bhagavatam, and so many devotees have written so many self-help books to understand scriptures better. So it's like we are going through a golden period, you know. It's not a time of those olden days where you are in a gurukul, there's only one guru and you don't have any other option and you just have to stick with him. There's so many options out there. So yeah, if you're not inspired by a particular devotee, that's all right. Take inspiration from whoever you are inspired and just get going. See, let me tell you, what's your name? Hare Krishna. Renuka Mataji, let me give you one example. My personal life. When I got newly married, okay, I was very young. So me and my husband, we were in Mayapur. Now, the kind of background that I come from, city life, I like Mayapur, but in my beginning days, maybe I was just maybe 19 year old, okay, young girl. So my husband said, you know, one day, let's go to Navadweep, you know, in Mayapur, we go to the other side, you know. So he said, I'll buy you a lot of nice Bengali cotton saris. And if you want, I give you mishti doi, you know, this sweet curd. So let's go. We cross in the boat and we'll go on the other side. So I said, fine. I was excited. So when we reached the bank of Ganga, there was this one big boat and there were lots of Bengali villagers with their cycle and all, you know, sitting in that boat. And my husband was giving me his hand. He said, come. I said, I'm not coming. This is so dirty. I don't want to come. For me, it was new. I said, I don't want to get into this boat. It's dirty. And the armpits of these people smell so much. I don't want to come. And my husband was, you know, don't make a fuss. Everybody's looking, you know. I said, come on. He's just taking my hand. He said, come. I said, I'm not coming. He said, look, I can't arrange another boat for you. You want to get your saris? You want to get mishti? They get up. And I was still reluctant. And then, you know, I was very young. So definitely, you know, he had more strength. So he just pulled me in. Finally, I was in. And then he told, look, if you want to cross, this is the only boat available, okay? But I said, it's dirty. He said, fine. So he took out the handkerchief from his pocket. And then he cleaned up one small place for me. And he said, look, let's sit here. You don't have to look at them. You just sit here and somehow we'll cross. So somehow we crossed the boat and we reached the other side. And I bought my saris and whatever he wanted to. Why did I tell you this incident? That point my husband made that day, I understand now. And he says, look, if you want to cross, this is the only boat available. If you keep looking, this is dirty, this and that, there's no other option. Now, this is what is there in our lives. If we want to cross this material ocean, the only boat available is ISKCON and ISKCON community. There may be some dirt inside. There may be some problem in your community with some devotee, with some problem. Don't worry so much about it. Take your handkerchief, clean that little place where you are sitting, but sit, because this is the only boat available. There is no other boat to cross in this material world, in this situation that we are put in, I tell you. There may be so many religious organizations, but the only boat that is going back home, back to Godhead, is ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Somehow stay there. Somehow stay there with the devotees. Somehow stay there. Stay put with the devotees. So yeah, there may be always problem. I'm not saying the boat is very nice and clean and spotless. There are problems. But that's the only way to go. So let's adjust and take help. There's so many books, so many other devotees who can inspire you, right? So I remember that boat ride of mine. I never looked at them also. I kept looking at my husband only. That's it. Because I was so uncomfortable. Of course, I mean, those days I was young. So yeah. So, does it help you, Renuka Mataji? Okay, one more and then we'll end it.
There are quite a few devotees that have raised their hands and quite a few devotees have asked on the chat as well. So please forgive me if I'm not able to cover the other one. That's a good question.
Yes, but I never pronounced Mataji. That was such a sweet class. I am so inspired.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your kind words. Nandini Kishori Mataji, you're asking me if there was any life-changing moment for me?
Yes.
I think
Mataji,
I think it's simply mercy of Guru and Krishna. I don't know. As specifically, there has not been any one single moment which has been life-changing, but somehow by Krishna's mercy, everything that happened in my life, I have tried to take lessons. And how does it come naturally? I think it's purely mercy of Guru and Krishna. I don't deserve. I'm not that intelligent. I'm not that smart. But somehow, I don't know how Krishna just gives the right perspective of looking at things. It's purely mercy. It is something like, you know, there are some students who are very intelligent and they get good marks because of merit. And I think there are some children who get good marks or who just pass out because maybe their handwriting is good or maybe the teacher is very kind to them. I feel in my situation, it's like that. Personally, I'm not very intelligent, but somehow Krishna is, I would say, partial to me. I don't know. I mean, I never said this anytime in a public forum, but since you asked me, I feel he's very partial to me and he's too kind. And he's giving me more than I deserve. Thank you. Thank you to all the devotees. I'm very grateful to all of you for giving me a patient hearing. Thank you. So, we'll end it here. If there are any questions which they want to ask, they can send me an email. Have you put my email in the chat? Okay. Okay, some devotee has put my email in the chat. They can just write to me.
Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna lage. Sab Krishna.